groundwater outside the county, like in the Barranca Mesa area or something like that, but still opening, you know, having purveyors here get the first call on it or something like that.
What is the exact location of Barranca Mesa? I saw that in your email.
It's where it stops being an open canal. The coastal branch, you know, comes off just as a canal, and it's where it stops being an open canal and starts being a pipeline. It's in southwestern Kings County, and I think maybe a little bit into Kern. It's you know,
Just right there
because
in the
of the
corner.
topography, you know how Highway 41 kind of
Yeah.
winds around to Kettleman City. But the topography of putting a canal up through there wouldn't work, and so it goes around the flatlands, more around the side of what's that sort of point off to, out toward Lost Hills. You know, there's Orchard Peak. If you're going out 46, there's Orchard Peak, and then there's
Yeah.
some low hills, and then it gets flat. Barranca Mesa is kind of the flat area
Okay.
around the base of those low
And
hills.
is there a contained aquifer there? I mean, is the geology like around Arvin or that area?
I haven't actually read any studies, and that's part of, I mean,
See,
that's
the
since
Arvin
we're,
Edison Water Bank
yeah, they have
actually
a,
is this huge bowl.
right, they're on the Sierra side, whereas this is on the Coast Range
Yeah, but
side, so geology's
I'm only
different.
talking about the geology. It's a bowl, and it's the sides are up all the
Bless
way
you.
around.
Thanks.
And they calculate that they take the water, they put it in spreading ponds, it goes down, and then they pump it back up when they need it. Total water loss through evaporation during spreading and pumping and everything else, 1%. 1%. Now that's a very contained aquifer. In North County, I think we've got a bowl sort of on the east side of this. Then I don't think there's a lip on the west side. I think that
Well,
water would
have you
migrate.
read the Chipping study? Because that has some basin characterization as well as the more recent groundwater
But
basin
I
study in it.
think even that shows that if we pumped sufficient water into that, it would essentially, eventually, over maybe years, but it would migrate into the Salinas River, which is not a bad thing either.
No, you know what's real interesting? Have you ever read the 1957 Master Water Plan? Claire Hill and some of the other
No,
people of
should
that
I?
era. It's Hello, John. Thank you so
Yeah.
much.
Yeah, see you. Hi.
It just kind of puts a perspective on what we're doing now because they were thinking big. That's when they thought they were going to take the Eel and the Klamath and who knows, maybe the Yukon, whatever they could grab.
Now this
They
is
were
here?
this was the Master Water Plan for the state of California that
Oh.
was essentially the document at the time the people of California voted for the state water project in the early 60s. It's the Master Water Plan from 1957.
Okay.
The you know, we have 25,000 acre feet from the coastal branch. Santa Barbara County has 45,000 or something like that.
Yeah.
The planning then was that the coastal branch would bring in 760,000 acre feet. It would actually deliberately dump 155,000 acre feet into the Salinas River to benefit growers in Monterey County. The funny thing is, it missed San Luis Obispo completely. There was a tunnel, a 22-mile tunnel under the Santa Lucia Range, but there were going to be reservoirs in all the North Coast streams. Of course, at that time, there was going to be a city of 60,000 people on the Hearst Ranch.
Which, thank God, didn't happen.
The plans were just absolutely enormous. And that's not all that was coming into San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara County. In addition to the 760,000, there was also 325,000 acre feet that would come in over the Grosser Grade. They would turn the Elkhorn Plain into a terminal reservoir. The Cuyama Valley, which of course does
You're
have
saying
some
Elkhorn what?
Elkhorn Plain, is sort of a separate
Is that
satellite of
called
the
the Elkhorn
Carrizo.
Plain? Because you got the Elkhorn Slough up the
Right.
other end.
Well, this is where the Tule elk drop their horns or something.
Okay.
But so this would be a reservoir. Of course, there'd be a city here. Cuyama Valley would be this agricultural... I mean, Cuyama Valley probably needed something like that. But,
well, they desperately need something now.
But so the combined total of state water coming into San Luis Obispo and Santa Barbara counties was to be 1.2 million acre feet. That's what they were thinking in 1957.
Well...
And I got to meet one of the principal authors, Claire Hill. You know, he was chairing not the State Water Resources Control Board at that time, but the California Water Commission, and I met him at a couple of those commission meetings. He was still serving on that until he was about 87.
Wow. Be nice to have a cool
mind. He was part of the split. You know, there used to be just one California Water Commission, and he was one of the main architects of the system where you had the State Water Resources Control Board making the big decisions and the California Water Commission making the little decisions like naming of facilities and the resolutions of necessity.
Let's see if we can't...
I guess...
Before we ask too many questions
to
the list, are there any other categories that we've missed?
You're talking about questions under two here.
No, I'm not asking. Well, I'm just asking for categories first, and then the questions would go under the categories.
Right.
But
public policy, governance, engineering, geological, environmental, legal, and other. Anything else goes under other.
Well, I know, but is there some obvious other that we're not saying? What do you think, Courtney? Public policy basically would be dealing with the political side of things in terms of growth and conversion of ag land and all of those issues, which really the supervisors pretty much run without any engineering analysis. It's political analysis, if anything.
But it cross-fertilizes with the legal side, because the legal, essentially you're going to try to get your lawyers to find some kind of case law to back up whatever the public policy agenda is.
But you know yourself that basically the supervisors have a group of attorneys that work for them, and they say, find justification to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go out and, because one week they can say, here are the findings that say we have to say no. Supervisors come back with a tentative vote, say, we're going to say yes. They come back 4 weeks later saying, these are the findings that prove yes. So,
yeah. Have an experiment without a control in which you come up with the following result. You see that in quasi-science all the time. It's how you get grants renewed.
I know.
Anyway.
I started off with some governance. Certainly came in. You asked questions about that.
Is funding questions?
What are they? Funding questions. That's an important one. That's a big one. That's more than other. Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
And that goes everything from cost benefit analysis to who would be charged and how would we guarantee a revenue stream.
Now, mind you, the supervisors instructed us to deal with that last.
Well, it's last.
And we are putting it last. You know how it is in government. If you find money to do a particular thing, sometimes the policy will chase the money.
That's right. Well, look at what's happening to our mental health system. It's completely inadequate in many, many areas.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to say, it's crazy.
Well, it is. It is, because Proposition 63 absolutely expressly forbids using the money from the new tax to correct any existing deficiencies. Oh. It has to go for new programs.
Let me tell you this. When Social Security was put in, there was, and still is on the books, an outright prohibition for anybody to use your Social Security number as an ID number.
Oh, yeah. And I still don't like giving it out.
Everybody does that.
I still, you know, I'm worried about this whole identity thing, theft thing, this whole thing about somebody wants your Social Security number just so you can hike on their land. I'm going to hike on someone else's land.
So traditionally it's a whole bunch of X's and then you give the last four digits, right?
Yeah.
I'm told, I don't know how to do it, but I'm told that if somebody has your name and they have the last four digits, they can find the others.
Oh.
Which doesn't make me feel good at all.
No.
Well, anyway, I felt reasonably secure until I saw my Visa bill one month, and it said I had spent $2,000 in a casino in Montreal. And since I've never been in Montreal, and I don't go for gambling anywhere, I said to them, I wasn't there and I didn't spend this money. And I didn't have to pay any of it. It was, but I had to change all my visa numbers and all that kind of stuff because that one was tainted. And I said, how does this happen? Well, sometimes we get an employee who leaves and they're mad and they take a bunch of information with them and then they sell it off.
Yeah.
But that's a good question, though.
Okay.
Funding questions. Are there any others that we've...
Well, while we're looking at the list of categories of
questions,
I think this is a good time for Courtney to tell us what actual questions were on the minds of people in Shandon and sort of array them under those categories. And
good.
Here's the unconfirmed.
Okay.
Yeah.
let's see. One of them was regarding the potential for implementation of a plan without approval from those who might be impacted.
Okay.
Her specific question was like, will I get to vote, and who's the, you know, if some Archiero has this big weight, and I just have a little small weight because I'm a property owner.
Yes. I think this,
I don't know if it'll be an actual vote, but
I think
like,
Eric captured that one. Would the communities most affected, presumably Shandon first, have any official vote, and through what immunity?
Yeah.
Does that sound like it?
Similar.
Okay.
Yep. Let's see. Water quality came up. The impact of imported water on the water quality of
that would
put
be
into the basin.
Under
well, that engineering
that's
question.
Environmental or engineering?
I guess it's environmental.
Probably both.
It's geological. I mean,
that's no. It wouldn't be geological because you're talking about the quality of the water that was brought in.
Yeah, and how it will, you know, impact the quality of the groundwater that's there already. And
how do we phrase that? What would the quality of the water be? And
were they making any assumptions about whether it would go through the treatment plant or through a separate ozonation or through nothing, or were they just not sure?
Yeah, I think basically they felt that the water in the state water supply was lower quality than what was in the groundwater basin already. That was
Of course, state law says if you're going to inject it into the ground, you have to bring the new water to at least the same standard as the water that's there. You're not allowed to degrade the standard.
Yeah.
What would the water quality be?
I put this, you're putting it under engineering. I was thinking environmental, but.
It kind of falls under a lot of things,
these
probably.
Overlap, but I think engineers are the ones who are going to tell us specifically if it's got chloramines or chlorides or if it's got total dissolved solids or whatever it's got.
So maybe
and then
it's
the
two,
environmental
two
would be,
sets of
what
questions.
Do we do about this?
Right. Question, the engineering question is, what form of treatment will it receive? In other words, will it get chlorination, dechlorination, ozonation, none, or whatever? That's the engineering question.
The only
question.
Thing we know for sure is it's got chloramines. No, sorry. It's raw water.
It's
got
raw
a very
water,
slight residual, but not much, when it arrives at
when it arrives at, yes. And it has been in an open canal, and in the summer, there are algal blooms and things like
now,
that.
Now, you raised that issue, but there has been fairly extensive water quality studies done.
Mm-hmm.
And the current ones say that simply it's very, those are not real issues. That
well, have you been reading the CCWA agenda packets?
Not
they have
not
discussions
religion.
About August and September every year. It shows up in their minutes, the discussions about some of the extra measures they have to take because of the algal blooms in the canals and, you know, the taste issues that they have to, you know, they usually have there's three sets of agendas to follow up on, and you can usually see them in the library at San Luis Obispo, but you ought to be subscribing, you know, or be on their mailing list. There is the CCWA board itself and their agendas.
Okay.
Then there's the operating committee, which looks at things like water quality, treatment plant performance, and so forth. And then there's the finance committee. And they all have agenda packets, minutes, and all those things available.
And you read all of these, Eric?
Yeah.
I've got a wife and kids. I teach at Poly. I can't. Well, I'll get on the list. I'll probably give it a faster look than you do.
I Bruce Buell gave me a ride home after the meeting at the treatment plant.
Oh, good.
And I suggested to him that maybe he might even want to start attending some of their meetings in Buellton. just to get a feel for the players and to let, you know, to have his face out there.
Now, I know the headquarters is in Buellton, but do they hold their meetings there consistently?
They have their board meetings in Buellton. They have no reason to have
close.
A board meeting up here because we're not part of their board. But
And that's a touchy.
Don't forget, topic. Santa Maria is almost half of the project in terms of acre feet. So they kind of find the center of gravity right there in Buellton.
No, I appreciate the significance of the location. Okay. But you're saying, what months are they used? Do these...
It's normally the fourth Thursday of whatever month they...
No, I meant you said the report's in 2 months usually.
Well, usually August and September, it kind of crops up in the discussions at the operating committee about how they're dealing with some of the taste issues and so on from the
I just meant if
rising temperature in the canals.
Instead of reading 12 of these a year, I'll read 2 a year.
I mean, in a way, we don't need to be having this discussion now because all we're talking about is what we're going to have discussions about. But since you made a sort of an assumption, I showed where there was
evidence
to challenge
that assumption. Well, the engineering question would
still
be, what will the quality of the supplemental water be? And then the environmental questions would be, what would the impacts of taking this water have on the groundwater, native water?
Yeah,
right.
The method that you might be chosen.
And we can say either injected or infiltrated, because we don't know for sure how it will get into the basin.
Well, spreading ponds are a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
Trust me. And there's they've done a lot of work on percolation rates and such in the area. So I think the engineers would, if that's an option. That
injection usually happens where there's high land cost.
Yeah, but it's more expensive.
Oh yeah.
To try to pressure it into a well.
Long term, yeah.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Of course, look what happened to Point Magoo.
Mm. What did happen to Point Magoo? Wasn't that perchlorate?
Point Magoo had a number of deep wells, and they started getting saltwater incursion in an upper aquifer. And as they approached these deep wells, they didn't seal those wells off, and the saltwater came in and went down and then started polluting the lower aquifers. So now you've got seawater coming in and going down these wells and spreading
half
like that.
Half of least resistance.
Huge problem. I mean, people want to talk about seawater incursion as some sort of theoretical boogeyman. And I don't think we're at great risk currently in this county. But both Point Magoo and Elkhorn Slough.
Yes.
Huge issues.
And even up toward Castroville.
And Flossosis has it in this county.
So, next question.
Okay. Frustrations associated with the ability of studies to predict the needs, uses, behavior. So, basically, just
those
general
are policy
mistrust of whatever kind of study comes
out.
So, how would you...
Specifically, his specific example was DWR's study of the basin and whether it was an overdraft and when it would become an overdraft versus the newest one.
Oh, the 79 one versus the new one? Yeah.
And the new one says it's not an overdraft?
Right.
It points to particular areas that
are in bad shape.
Yeah. But, well,
overall.
Its conclusion is somewhat tentative because it's based on, there are future land use scenarios which would put it in overdraft. But the assumption
only
is...
Only if those directions were pursued. Yeah.
But if, you know, the argument it makes is that it is not currently an overdraft.
Okay. So policy
which is why we're not talking level 3 up there.
How are we to assess the value of differing reports?
I would suggest, I guess, making sure that everyone is agreeable to whatever, study. Like, I don't know, I guess buy-in for the studies that are produced.
How would differing... What?
Because we want to do it to where it will be everyone can accept the results.
Is the fear of bad science? Is the fear of political agendas driving the science? What was the fear?
Yeah.
Both?
Probably both. But just, you know, mm-hmm. as a brainstorm, as an overall, you know, question
okay,
or issue.
And obviously that's getting back to Steve Senton's comment that trust and fear that people aren't being open about their real interests will always be there to kind of color the discussion. But, you know, I attended those 50-year planning sessions that the planning department did, and they had them in North County,
South County. Oh, the 2050, yeah.
Yeah, and no, it wasn't, yeah,
was it,
right.
Because that was mostly Council of Governments. There were planners there, too.
And LAFCO had a significant role in it. But, I mean, they talked quite candidly about Shandon having, Shandon having 30,000 people.
Well, you know, the regional transportation plan through SLOCOG has tried to slip in numbers for the community of Shandon that nobody in the county planning department is talking about.
I understand.
And a lot of that comes from a sewer treatment plant study that proposed sewering for a community of 14,000 and something.
Well, I'm just saying that these here again are, every time something like that happens, then you get people saying, wait a minute, they're planning our future, we don't have a voice. So.
Right. And this is a very realistic fear if decisions are going to be made not just in distant San Luis Obispo City courthouse, but in Buellton and Sacramento,
sure.
Then there's a real feeling of fear of powerlessness, which goes to public policy questions and governance questions.
Let's make sure we hear all your questions before we go today.
Okay.
Okay,
next. this one came up at the Polonio Pass meeting. The fact that landowners have a different view on the nature of the basin than what was concluded in the Pastoral's groundwater basin study.
Okay.
I don't know if you remember that question
that
came up. And
that
would
be a geological question?
I didn't
question?
Find any evidence to show that there's a barrier. And I think it was George was his name that said, well, I live on there and that's what I've experienced.
Right.
So there's that.
Landowners have a different view of the basin.
And of course, part of it is most landowners don't like to make their well logs public, and so they may be having experiences with their own wells that haven't been part of the database for the studies that are telling them that the reality is
okay,
something else.
Their view was different from the studies or from county planning?
From the study, from the Pastoral's Groundwater Basin study.
Oh.
The author of that study was there at the Polonio, you know, Paul Sorensen.
Yes, yes.
And his answer was that they, in the course of doing the study, didn't find any evidence that there was a barrier that one of the landowners was saying was there. But
okay.
in their experience, they kind of seen that.
Okay. I think what we're going to get more and more is not so much findings that an entire water basin is in overdraft as, although technically seen in its entirety, it's not an overdraft. We have depressions, faults, issues, and it's going to be kind of a hodgepodge. In the Pomo, for example, the courts, after looking at voluminous hydrology studies. I mean, everybody in California that's who's who in hydrology weighed in. And the judge basically threw all the attorneys out and put all the geologists and hydrologists together and said, you guys pull your data, come up with a composite, tell us what the story are. And there was pretty much uniform agreement. Everybody didn't like the result, you know.
Yeah.
And some that didn't like it also didn't understand the results, which was crazy.
Yeah.
They came out with a color map, sort of looking at the groundwater basin sideways, and it had blue and brown areas.
Well, they had
blue and red
cross sections. Is that the one you're talking about?
And then the blue areas were actually areas where the delta of the rate of change is actually increasing. And the red was where the rate of change is decreasing. I'm sorry. Good morning. This is he. Yes, on the 25th. I've got it written down. Thanks. Confirming our meeting next week.
Oh, is that Maryland?
All right.
But let me turn this off. I apologize.
I presume if either Bill or Betty was going to call you on that thing, they would have done so by now.
But I left my cell phone number at the bottom of it, but after 45 or 50 minutes, I don't think that's going to happen. I'll have to apologize to everybody. Anyway, what they did in Napomo was, and this is a court case you're going to want to follow. It goes to trial next month,
mm-hmm.
phase five. Phase five after all these years.
Yeah.
If it goes as most people believe it will, the judge will do something that has never been done in state water law of California ever. He will require that a basin be formally adjudicated even though it's not in overdraft.
Huh.
See, in every case, they had to have findings of an overdraft. Then you can adjudicate the basin. A lot of these basins are adjudicated up and down the state. This one is formally not an overdraft, but it does have pumping depressions, and you risk dropping the gradient between where you're pumping and the ocean. So even though you have water back there someplace, the seawater still would come into your pumping area. And he is going to impose a management system, and there will be a technical group that will monitor water levels and sodium and other such things.
That brings up a question we might
Which
get
could also
asked.
Happen. My point is that could also happen in Paso Robles. You see, even though maybe the latest finding says it's not an overdraft, it still could end up being formally adjudicated despite that.
Mm-hmm. And so that one of the questions that might be asked is, would this conjunctive use program impact in any way the future likelihood of adjudication? You know, by getting, even though it's actually adding water temporarily, it's also adding interests that have a stake in the basin.
It's not conjunctive pumping, though, because conjunctive pumping is actually where you're mining an over-stressed basin, but you're doing so on a short-term basis because you have other sources that will come
right.
in and remediate.
Well, the conjunctive is for those downstream. They would be using this, wouldn't, I mean... Well, we'll call it off-stream storage then.
Okay.
Let's
just call it water banking.
Yeah, water banking.
Yeah, would the water banking do what?
Would the water banking affect the ultimate likelihood of adjudication in the Paso Robles Basin? Simply by getting...
Ultimate makes me nervous, but let's just say affect the likelihood.
Yeah.
Want to hear my bullet about that?
Yeah, oh, you got one, okay.
Yeah. Well, this is how I put it. Potential for an implemented groundwater banking program to lead to adjudication of the basin.
Well, yeah, that's the same question, so it's come up.
Okay, good. By the way, I don't think it's a bad thing that a basin becomes adjudicated.
It makes things clear,
that's
for sure.
It's usually painful getting there.
It can be painful getting there, but as a policy person on the other end, I would rather have almost any number rather than have no numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Make it a lot clearer.
At least then you can make policy based on something solid. If you say you're only going to get 2,000 acre feet a year and everything else has to be supplemental, boy, that means you tighten your belt and you do a whole lot of things, but at least you know what you got to do. When they say, well, we just don't know for sure, but you don't have ultimate rights if anything goes wrong.
Yeah. And you may have to prove that you did everything you could.
And was your actions open, notorious, and all those other things that you have to have for prescriptive taking? Yeah, I know.
Difficulty with being proactive, I think, sometimes.
Yeah. but if the Napomo court case goes in Santa Clara next month, the way I think it's going to go, then we will want to report to the RAC, I'm sure.
Oh, I would want that.
And
yes.
then we're going to sit back and ask ourselves some pretty interesting questions.
And how would the water master be appointed?
Well, you have three water masters. It works like this. You have three zones. You have what we call a north zone, which is really a Rio Grande, Grover Beach, Oceano, stuff that's off the mesa, but just north of the mesa. In theory, that's a wash, no pun intended. There's no effect on their water supply,
mm-hmm.
plus or negative. They'll keep monitoring as long as that model seems to be holding true. They don't have to pay for anything. They're just sitting there checking. And there will be a small technical group that'll do that for the court. They answer directly to the court.
Mm-hmm.
Then the large one will be all of Santa Maria River bottom, city of Santa Maria, and all the way out to, I don't know how far, toward Cuyama, mm-hmm. and clear out toward Orchid and all that area, and Guadalupe. And that will be the basin majority.
Mm-hmm.
And that will have its own technical crew, and it'll have a water master.
Mm-hmm.
But then Napomo, just west of Highway 101, will have what's called the NMMA, Napomo Mesa Management Area.
Mm-hmm.
It'll have a technical crew, which the purveyors will pay for, the farmers don't. And they basically will keep a track of how it's doing in terms of water levels and pumping depressions. They can issue yellow warnings, in which case certain policies kick in. They can put in red warnings, in which case other things kick in. But so long as there is sufficient water, everybody, it's business as usual. And we have to bring in a minimum of 3,000 acre feet a year from Santa Maria in order to make up the current pumping depressions. Now that's where it stands now. So there's three water masters, tiny, almost tiny, and big.
Mm-hmm.
And each one will independently speak to the, like there's no single water master in Santa Maria that the other mm-hmm. two have to filter through, which is one thing we held up for. We didn't want to have, even though you're the tail and the dog, you'd like to have your own voice.
Yeah.
So, well, anyway.
Anyway, well.
We're almost
next,
getting there, and we're running out of
question.
Time.
Yeah, we're only on number two. We still have three and four, too. So anyway, next question.
Well, the other one was about paying for it.
Okay, funding questions again.
Yeah, and so I guess there's kind of two parts. There's funding if something was identified and implemented, and then there's funding for looking at different options.
You mean who's paying
okay.
for the study?
Funding questions for option for studying options.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which hopefully will be another round of grants available. And
hopefully
then through this process, we'll have identified the next high priority
and
thing to look at.
And then funding for
implementation.
If such happens.
And there are different ways of charging potential participants whose water you're banking. Obviously.
But I'll tell you, in our case, when we have the other purveyors, we have our own people, we have those that have mutual water companies outside of our area, and then we have people that want to annex in, we actually had to pay for a $30,000 rate study,
mm-hmm.
which was exhaustive, to come up with legal justification for why could you charge this rate to this person and that rate to that person. And the people who live there say, let all of the new development pay for it. Well, the truth is, we get some benefit from having that. Our water quality improves, and we certainly have two sources instead of just one source, which is junior. We have to pay for that. We don't get it for free.
Right.
But how do you assess the percentages for something like that? And they did a good job. My guess is something like that, you wouldn't handle it in-house. You'd farm it out to a professional group, I would imagine. But then who pays them? You know, will the soups take it out of the general fund? Or
are
they going
to
mess with your budget in order to reallocate? Yeah. Well, good.
Good question.
Good.
Does that cover most of their issues?
Lack of willingness to look at other alternatives.
Now,
did they say...
Tell me again, they don't have willingness to look at other alternatives, or...
They were saying that county staff didn't have the willingness to look at other alternatives for banking or water supplies.
Okay,
or
would this be
thing.
Banking outside the county? Is that what they're talking about?
Yeah, outside the county, or not just looking right at Paso Robles Groundwater Basin around Chandon.
Can this be dealt with by thorough alternatives analysis?
Well, I think that leads to the funding question and the resources.
Well, yeah.
I know we have resources to do that particular one
some funding
right now.
Question, and some of it's a public policy question too.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, how many are they willing to fund at the same time and
okay.
resources and all that kind of stuff.
What kinds of options would
and
be
the particular gentleman that asked about this or you know, to express this was the meeting that got postponed for today, actually. It was a meeting with Supervisor Ovitt to look at water options for Shandon.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I lived in Shandon, of course, I would see this water aimed right at our heads. But the reality is, if you had a nice big basin, say, in the San Luis Valley, you wouldn't run a pipeline for 17,000 acre feet all the way to San Luis Obispo and expect it to be, you know, economically viable. I mean, it just wouldn't make any sense to bank it. Because the question is, who pays? Whoever pays is who's going to benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the shortest pipeline is going to be the cheapest pipeline.
Right.
That's obvious. But I don't think it's being aimed at Shandon specifically. I think the whole Paso Robles Basin is pretty much
just
seen
finding
as
a site for increasing reliability.
Yeah, there's particular tension in Shandon simply because they're undergoing their community plan, the early phases, which in an innovative way is partially funded by three large developers with agendas, and so they're, you know, that kind of explains some of the level of distrust because wanting, you know, the dialogue within Shandon, there are those who want it to stay just the way it is. There are those who want a modest expansion to support a little more services and recreation and so on. There are those who want what in Shandon terms is like an ambitious expansion to 2,500 or 3,000 people. But then along out of left field comes this sewer study that talks about 14,000, and they're starting to think things are kind of going out of their control. And so
I'll tell you, I think 14,000 is going to be a low number.
Well, then the question is, I shouldn't get us too far off into transportation issues, but
wrapped up.
It is important to know that there's a huge internal inconsistency in the regional transportation plan. Protest got the number knocked down to 8,000, which is still way beyond anything, but the transportation infrastructure in that plan doesn't serve a population of 8,000. It serves the population they have now. There's no farsightedness. For example, you can see the stack of cars waiting to make a left turn at McMillan Canyon Road to get into Paso Robles.
Well,
There's no interchange.
I understand that part, Eric, but what I'm really saying is I think that in the process of going to 15 to 20,000 people in the next 15 to 20 years, that jobs creation in the immediate Shandon area so as to actually reverse some of this traffic flow to Paso Robles and to make people within walking distance or short drive distance of work is going to be one of the critical parts of that planning.
Mm.
And I don't think without that, I don't think it's viable, period. I mean, when gasoline hits $5 or $6 an hour, and by the way, it's already past that in Europe.
Yeah.
But if it hits that, people are not going to drive 40 miles every day back and forth to work. You couldn't pay them enough.
Mm-hmm. A lot of the people in Shandon now commute to Avenal and Coalinga and work in prisons. But anyway,
are we done with prisons too?
I mean, we can keep brainstorming questions, but I'd rather brainstorm when we have all the brainstormers with us. So
I think this has been productive today. I really appreciate you guys reading my mind, if not my script. Finding the place.
When should we hold meetings to which we vigorously invite the gen? I like the idea of a vigorous invitation. Y'all come!
Well, not everybody thought that was a wonderful idea. Nonetheless.
I'll just tell you, my commitment is to meet with the RACTAC at least quarterly as far as the specific, you know, agreement, grant agreement study we have to do.
Yeah.
Which just got signed today. So.
The RACTAC?
Yeah, or I don't know what you call yourselves.
Is that what you call it inside?
Let's see. Here it says. A technical advisory committee of the Water Resource Advisory Committee will be established to monitor the detailed progress of the study in addition to other report-oriented
presentations. Oh, that's something else besides us, then.
Well, I guess that's the question I have for our meeting on the 25th.
Okay, we'll talk about that then. But if you look at the minutes when this was formed, it was the Paso Robles Groundwater Banking Study Group, not a technical advisory group. But anyway.
That's banking still.
Though. Yeah.
Anyway, but in terms of your interfacing with us, you were expecting it to be only quarterly or?
At least quarterly.
At least quarterly.
Yeah.
It's depending on how fast I can work.
And we agreed when we started that we would read every month unless the people at the meetings felt that it should be less frequent. So that creates some stress for you guys because if you don't have staff time to make agendas for all these things, you don't necessarily mean that you feel comfortable with other people making the agendas either. So.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see how that works out. I'm hoping we can come to some reasonable accommodation.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you asked about a monitoring plan, but we do have the agreement between the city of Paso and the county and Chandon to monitor the basin.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I mentioned that at the Chandon meeting too. If you know we're trying to get landowners that they want to participate.
May I look at that?
Sure. It's kind of a draft, but I was going to overlay the actual basin.
Yeah.
I haven't done that yet.
Okay. I see. These are parcels under agreement. Okay. There's a whole lot that's not being monitored here, though, unless there's other monitoring going on. That I'm sure there must be. Good.
So I guess a couple of questions then in relation to public meetings. And I guess the first question is it productive to have a public meeting when we're in the earliest stages of conceptualizing or when we have better fleshed out alternatives for the public to weigh in on?
What if we did this? What if we had a meeting in Templeton, which is obviously scheduled for Wednesday week.
Oh, okay.
Is that, no, it's 2 weeks from Wednesday.
It's the
2 weeks
31st,
from Wednesday.
First, isn't it? Or
yeah, it's the first Wednesday in June.
Oh, the 7th?
Yeah.
Well, normally our North County Water Resources Forum meets the first Thursday, which would be the 1st.
No, I understand, but I'm talking about this study group.
Okay. Oh, that's right. We're supposed to meet with the Templeton CSD. Now, that's one of those 4 o'clock things, right?
Right. Now, if you already have had one meeting with Chandon and gotten some questions, maybe if we had a similar meeting in Templeton and got Templeton and Paso Robles people, let's say, together and really basically asked them the same kinds of questions and solicited theirs, then we could combine those into what we've done here and come up with sort of a rough draft for a starter.
One thing I would suggest,
and that wouldn't be advertising it all over the map.
No, but it would be the people to whom to advertise it, I think, is to get in touch with Ken Weathers and have him activate his list, the North County Water Resources Forum list, and essentially they might decide then that would be a forum day instead of Thursday the 1st, that they would simply move their forum to be in conjunction with ours.
That's called the North County?
North County Water Resources Forum. The other option would be for us, instead of doing ours on the 7th, to do it on the 1st as a North County Water Resources Forum.
And the problem with that is we don't have time to put it together by the 1st.
Uh-huh.
We really don't. That's moving it up a week and pushing it back a week certainly gives us a breather. And by the way, they
but
might
there's
want
a,
the breather too.
Yeah. The other thing to realize is that first Wednesdays are very awkward for Chandon people because they have their own meeting in Chandon starting at 7.
But see, my thought was that since Courtney's already met with Chandon, that we would basically be giving Paso and Templeton the same kind of look that they got.
Right. We should not be surprised, though, to find Chandon people showing up questions that they didn't get answered the first time, hoping they'd hear them this time.
Well, they're supposed to be telling us the questions, not us telling them the questions. But anyway, if we did something like that,
yeah, so
we'd have some stuff together. Then we could really sit back and say, when do we want to plan this stuff? And
From 4 to 5:30 on the 7th at Templeton's Community Services District office. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Now, the next question that I kind of threw in there is, at what point should we have Bill Brennan or someone from the CCWA on hand to answer questions?
I personally...
He's a part of your your group.
Was he invited to this meeting?
Today? No. He doesn't attend the RAC meetings, the problem. I don't think we should be pulling in the CCWA quite yet. I think that the supervisors need to decide whether they really want to be on this board or not. And they should do the heavy lifting in terms of our relationship with the CCWA.
Well, when is that going to be presented to them? Because what I'm seeing in talking to people about this is people have a lot of questions about the CCWA's intentions, their way of doing business, that only the CCWA can answer.
No, trust me, I share some of those same concerns, but I'm just saying, in terms of logistics, do you really want some volunteers like ourselves approaching a government agency saying, what are your real intentions? Or don't we want elected policymakers?
Well, if we're going to have public meetings at which there's a lot of speculation and discussion about some agency's intentions,
right,
I would want to offer them the opportunity to be there.
I guess I wouldn't. And only for this reason, Eric. I don't think our job is to get all the answers yet. I think our job initially is to collect the questions.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all the questions about the CCWA, how they do business, what their real intentions are, what their long-term planning is, what are the fiscal incentives for keeping our county out of the driver's seat, all of those things, I think we can collect those.
Mm-hmm.
And then if I were on the CCWA, frankly, I would be more comfortable with somebody giving me a list of questions and saying, would you come to a meeting and be prepared to comment on these questions?
Mm-hmm.
Rather than blindsiding them in a public meeting when somebody jumps up and says, who are you really working for? And how, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it just, somehow I think their absence would seem more sinister to distrustful people than their presence, but I don't know, you know.
We have the same problem in circulation with Caltrans.
Yeah.
They don't show up.
Yeah.
But it really takes us, the supervisors, to get them to show up. An advisory council doesn't have any clout with Caltrans.
You know, maybe we want to run this very question past Jim and Harry.
Yeah, that'd be good. I like it.
Yeah.
But first, let's run it by staff first and see what they would suggest to us. You want to take an extra copy for somebody in your staff?
And of course, the other thing is I don't know where Bill or Betty or Brad or any of the others would be on this.
Today.
No, but I mean, in terms of... See, we're having a discussion. I feel like a lot of weight is on my shoulders because I have personal views on this that are probably going to be getting extra weight because I'm here talking a lot. And there are some empty chairs that might be adding all kinds of ideas or, say, opinions on this area where we have different views. Who would be agreeing with you? Who would agree with me? Who would have a whole different consideration? We don't know any of that at this particular meeting.
I would hope that at least for this stage of our work, that nobody's trying to agree with anybody.
Right.
That we're just trying to put all the questions down. Questions that you would be concerned about, questions I would be concerned about, questions the staff would be concerned about. And nobody's saying, my questions take priority over your questions.
Mm-hmm.
Put them all out on the table. Because the big thing that feeds distrust is the idea that somebody is out there running this system and
mm-hmm.
we're not, you know, we don't know what they're doing. Anyway. Enough for today?
Well, let's see.
Did you get to tape everything?
Yeah. Well, it's over the very beginning, but... Okay. So that might be helpful for somebody if they're interested.
Can we get copies of the tape, or does that does that make a little audio file or something?
Yeah, I can make a CD.
So our next meeting then will be June 7th, presumably about 4 o'clock at the TCSD with the public outreach.
Yeah, but that's, again, that's fairly localized, mm-hmm. as we, and it would be comparable to what you did in Shannon. So this is not, we don't take out big newspaper ads and start beating the drums. This is for the locals too. No. Round up the usual suspects.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing how often Casablanca is just the right thing to say? Good. And I will, normally we do hold our meetings in public buildings. We just weren't able to schedule a public room for today, and I'm sorry about that, but
can I clarify one thing though? This is just like bugging me.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the November meeting report, and you know, this is where I'm getting the idea that this subcommittee was for monitoring the groundwater banking earworm plan. So I'm just wondering if it was, is this the committee that was formed, or was it another one formed?
Well, this is the staff. This is the staff report. These are not the minutes.
Okay, so in the minutes it says that
you would need to see the minutes for November. I don't know whether you have those.
Yeah, you know, I think I looked at them, and that's where I came up with this, the list.
But we didn't. We didn't rubber stamp the staff recommendation on that. We because supervisors approached us and urged us to ask certain kinds of questions and do kinds of things. Specifically. Okay. Ms. Bianchi and Mr. Patterson, but Mr. Roos also had a voice in some of those concerns.
Yeah.
So I mean,
yeah.
we really covered three without messing with the Brown Act.
Maybe that's what I'm not seeing is
and
that.
And what they said is, direction. Go out and collect those questions and assemble as comprehensive a list of choices that you can, and then we'll sit back and say which of these are viable. Don't try to weed them out initially and say, oh, that will never work, take it off the table.
Right.
Put them all out there.
Including non-participation or not doing.
Including non-participation. I think you're absolutely right. Put them all out there on the table. And then, really, the crunching of this one has greater feasibility than that one does from policy or from financial reasons is a whole different range of questions.
Mm-hmm.
But I think for us, and this is what, I probably didn't say it very well to Pavel, and like I probably gave him the wrong date too or something, but for us to start looking at grant monies for particular options would be a huge mistake at this stage, because we don't know what options are going to be even looked at. I know it always takes time to sort of get in the loop so that you get the fund down the line so you've got money to do it, but like a planning grant that was fairly open-ended in scope would be great. But a planning grant that dealt only with banking 17,000 acre feet in the Santa Maria, you know, in the Paso Robles Basin, you know, we may not go in the direction. I don't know. So anyway,
who is going to communicate?
Hope we keep you out of trouble.
Our discussions with the people who weren't here, you know, with Steve, Bill, Fred, and
what
Betty.
I will do is take the expanded notes from our agenda today, and I will send them all copies. And then if you can send me a...
And then will we receive...
I don't know how many people are going to listen.
Are
to
we
that.
In a
There's
position...
There's some people who ask specifically if they could.
Can you receive comments from the ones that weren't here until the 25th
and
so that they can weigh in as well?
And then I will redline those additions. And
then also get them out to us so we know what they're saying.
And then on the 7th, when we all get together here, you know, that can be part of our report.
Good, yeah. Because I want to have a way of hearing their thoughts, even if they're not at this table.
Well, I do too. I do too.
So for the direction of from the supervisors that you had gotten, was that in a particular forum?
Yeah. It was in the Board of Supervisors meeting itself.
In the meeting, okay.
Yeah.
What do you remember what meeting that was?
Oh, I can go back and look at my notes, but it's in the transcript of the meetings for sure.
Yeah, because that'd be good, then I can understand better.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
nobody ever asks us to do what Pavel wants us to do. That's the problem.
What does Pavel want you to do?
Pavel wants us to be a technical subcommittee that reviews his recommendations and then take those recommendations to the larger rack afterwards. And that's the email that he sent me.
I think that has to do with the thing I'm working on, where, you know, you said you didn't agree with doing a grant to look at something in particular, but we already did.
Okay.
So that's what I have to do.
I'm not up in heads here. Okay. I'm just saying.
Oh yeah, I guess
look,
we'll talk
about I've been that. On the staff side of this as well as on the policy side. I understand. If you're a staff person, you don't want to lose control of the process. But the RAC is not, was not, never designed by the Board of Supervisors to function as an adjunct of staff. It answers directly to the supervisors, and most people in the RAC have nothing to do with the county. I mean, they're city
mm-hmm.
employees, they're farm representatives, they're people have no formal relationship with the county at all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in the NCSD where I am, we're an independent body. We're not subordinate to the Board of Supervisors.
There's only five of the members of the RAC that are directly appointed by individual supervisors. Everything else is from a different agency or a different yeah. perspective.
And the RAC itself has to collect all of those perspectives, which are non-county perspectives, because if we only come in on county's perspectives, basically staff is just speaking with two voices, ours and yours.
Yeah.
And then the count, and then the supervisors are not getting the breadth the RAC was created to.
So, kind of off that overall thing,
yeah.
if we have a study that we're doing,
fine.
And we want RAC's, you know, whatever that wording was, you know, RAC's.
Sure. Tell us,
like,
tell us about it.
Oversight.
Opinion, oversight
yeah.
opinion on it.
But that won't be the only process going on.
Right. Okay.
And I thought our role was more
working in parallel. And sometimes we're working on exactly the same thing. Other times we're working in parallel.
Yeah, it's related, but
yeah.
mine's more specific under a grant agreement.
Okay.
Specific scope of work kind of thing.
Does the RAC know anything about it, or you're just getting started?
Well, it was in November. That whole staff report was about the four planning grants and everything.
It was the earworm staff.
Yeah,
the earworm study. Okay.
Yeah, this is where we had asked for you to form a subcommittee to a... Because that's part of our grant agreement, is that we'll meet with you at least quarterly?
Yes. Okay. But this is a recommendation that we didn't go with. Maybe that's why this guy's not there now.
And just one very minor logistical consideration. I presume on Wednesday, June 7th, you are getting in your car and driving directly
yes.
from here to Templeton.
Yes, I am. And you're more than welcome to ride with me.
That would be nice, yes. And probably Courtney will be doing that, and
others alike.
Others, etc. But anyway, yeah. Okay. That's when I can't do by bus. Next
no,
bus
I understand.
Gets there at 5 something. So anyway, yeah. Okay. Well, I think we made some headway. I'm just sorry that, you know, I kind of feel our opinions have been heard and a lot of others haven't, but...